Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Friday, 18th of 7th, 17th of June. Arab Yaakov Ben Zaken, Shlita. Any particular title?
Pesach Sheni.
Pesach Sheni. This week's Torah was sponsored by family Sanger in honor of the Bar Mitzvah of their son. Eli Sanger and their Yura last Shabbos, Parshas Nosa. Yerotzen Shitzko Horov, Eskenov, Lerav, Nachas, Yemina, Mikol, Yetzi, Chalot, Zehem.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity. They've been trying to nail me for a little while. I do quite a lot of traveling now for Kashrus, so it's difficult to be here. Friday is usually here for Kashrus. In my travelings, I do a lot of listening as I drive for a very, very long time. So I have a few favorite podcasts I want to recommend. Number one, I want to recommend a podcast from Rosh Hashiva from Maryland, Rabbi, what's his name? He writes in the Mishpacha. He has a podcast about Motzei Shabbos, Sudash, Olam HaMalka that he gives in his yeshiva, that is basically biographies of Rishonim Gedolim, which is fascinating. The name will come at some point during the shiur. Now I want to discuss Pesach Sheni, and not just Pesach Sheni, but actually the events surrounding the request of Pesach Sheni. So the Torah introduces Pesach Sheni as a regular event when Moshe Rabbeinu came, and then like at any other time, he gathered Klal Yisrael and he gave them a tzibur, he gave them a commandment about what to do. וידבר השם משה במדבר סיני בשנה השני לצאת מארץ מצרים בחודש הראשון לאמור. Huh? We're in test. Parent test. And the Torah does not say which day it was, it just tells us that it was on the first month of the second year. ויעשו בני ישראל את הפסח במועדו. ויעשו, as opposed to ויעשו, ויעשו would imply past tense. ויעשו is talking, it's future, and they shall do the Pesach b'mo'ado, in its proper time. Rashi says, b'mo'ado, af b'shabes, b'mo'ado, af b'tuma. So imagine the scene. The scene is Klal Yisrael is gathered, Moshe Rabbeinu gathers them and tells them, I have something to tell you. We have to do Pesach b'mo'ado. And as he must have explained, what does b'mo'ado mean? He would explain to them, b'mo'ado means at its proper time. That means on the day that Erev Pesach falls, that's where the Korban Pesach has to be done. And as Rashi points out, Afilu Shabbos, even if it's Shabbos, and actually there is the Seder Olam tells us that on that year of the second year after they came out of Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Shabbos, Sunday, which meant that Pesach, Erev Pesach was actually on Shabbos. So it wasn't really, this wasn't just a theoretical, just in general, the Hilchos of Pesach Sheni about Doiche Shabbos, but it was actually that year itself, it was going to be on Shabbos, and therefore he was telling them it's going to be Doiche Shabbos, and also it's Doiche Tumah. So with this in the background, we understand what's happening. Klal Yisrael come, and they accept, they listen. They said, okay, good. And suddenly, Vahi Anashim, there are people who come forward and say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? Lama Nigara Levilti Akriv et Korban Hashem b'mo'adoi. Moshe Rabbeinu was probably explaining them that there is a din of Tuma that is Doiche Korban Pesach. However, that din of Tuma, which is Doiche Korban Pesach, is only Tuma Betzibur. Only when the Tumah is for the entire Klal Yisrael. But if it's a Yachid, if it's individuals who are Tameh, then that does not apply to you. So at that point, they said, okay, so then that's it, we lost it. We lost the opportunity to do Korban Pesach. And they came to Moshe Rabbeinu to complain. Why should we lose out? Why should we lose out? Now, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response? Imdu ve'eshmea ma'etzaveh Hashem lachem. Some say he told them stand because they were actually about to enter the klayim, and they were standing outside and says, you're tameh, you're not allowed to come in. Imdu, stand over there. And listen, I'm going to go check the halacha. I'm going to discuss with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to come back to you. Actually, not, he didn't say I'm going to check the halacha. He says I'm going to consult with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll get back to you. And the question that must be asked is: if we believe the Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai received Kol HaTorah Kulo, the Klaloteah with Prateah, with all the principles and with all the details, so how come Moshe Rabbeinu does not have an answer to give them right away? Why does he have to tell them, Imdu v'eshma v'eitzaveh Hashem lachem? So, in one of my travels, I listened to a shiur from Rabbi Breidowitz, Mor Sameach, and he said a wonderful pshat in the name of the Chazon Ish. He said, although it is true that when it came to giving the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the entire Torah, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebe'al Peh, to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and that's what he was doing for 40 days and 40 nights. And as the Midrash says, he knew when he was learning Torah Shebe'al Peh, when it was nighttime, because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him Torah Shebe'al Peh, and then during the day, Torah Shebichtav. So he knew that. Nonetheless, in terms of how he passed it on to Klal Yisrael, that was not to be done immediately after coming down all at once. And throughout the desert journey, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah, and based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzivui, he taught a particular halacha. Which means that there were certain halachas that Klal Yisrael did not keep right after Matan Torah. Only after Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to share that halacha, only then that halacha became a tzivui on Klal Yisrael. So even though the Torah was all given to Moshe at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael were not chayav in all of the Torah until they were actually instructed by Moshe about that specific halacha. And it could be that it took a year or more to teach that halacha, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not touch on the subject, and Klal Yisrael didn't do that mitzvah. This is a fascinating idea. The time of transmitting the Torah was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on the events that took place throughout their wanderings in the desert.
Huh?
Why didn't you do the Eshmael?
He had it already.
He knew what to say, right?
The mitzvahs that you got the moral before that. So they had mitzvahs.
Before
Moshe Rabbeinu, Yes,
in Achinamah. There were even mitzvahs before Matan Torah. But those he was given, those mitzvahs, he gave Sham San Loi, Chalku Mishpat, says he gave to Moshe.
No,
to Amisar. Okay, even if it was fine. Okay, the fact that he gave some before doesn't negate the fact that afterwards some of them were held back until the right time came about. And then he conveyed them to Klal Yisrael. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them, hold on? So he explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to consult with the Kadosh Baruch Hu whether it was the right time to tell them this halacha now. Whether this was the right time. And therefore, and now that you think about it, look at the language of the pasuk. Imdu ve'eshma ma yetzaveh Hashem lachem. Doesn't say imdu ve'eshma ma yedaber or ma yoymar Hashem. It's not about what Hashem says with regards to this halacha. Is what does Hashem want to be metzaveh this now or not? Imdu ve'eshma ma yetzaveh Hashem lachem. And in fact, he says that. The Chazon Ish says that this is what it means anytime we see in the Torah, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Hashem said now to Moshe to say. Of course Hashem taught Moshe before this. Of course this was said already to Moshe at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it. But Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Leimor, or Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor means Hashem spoke to Moshe and tell him now it's time to say it. The amazing pshat on Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Leibon. Now it's time to reveal and to teach this halacha and to make it applicable to Klal Yisrael. And that's how he explains this.
Is that the same principle by Ibn Slofkot?
Yeah, Lechaira. By Ibn Slofkot as well. Yeah.
But one second.
And now the Medrash, I'm going to get back. And now the Medrash that says that why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu teach this? It was a schus, megagil schus al yedei zakai. They were zoicha that it should be said in their name. That makes a lot of sense. Of course the halacha was there before. Of course the halacha was to be said. But when was it said? It was said as a result of their request. As a result of their coming forth. That's why it was said in their name. Yes.
Well, I was going to say with Slavkot it's different because Moshe himself didn't know the halacha until they asked the question and he asked Hashem.
So how could he not know? That's the question. How could he not know? How could Moshe Rabbeinu not know?
So why does it say he asked Hashem then?
I get so he asked Hashem whether it's time, whether I should respond, whether I should teach these halachas right now, whether it's the right time.
Why the next chapter in Hashem? So you know it already, you tell them now.
What?
The next Pesukim, Hashem told them halacha.
That's right.
I knew it already.
No, he told them what to tell them. He told them how to tell them.
I knew the halacha, just tell them now, tell them tomorrow.
I understand. No, but the act, maybe he told him the exact language he should say it in. Dabar al b'nei salim, or ish giyet hamel ha-nefesh, and then this is the parsha that says it. This is how Hashem said
it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, it's interesting, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch points to the fact that if we understand where we're placed geographically and in time, there's been a whole year since they came out of Mitzrayim, and where are they? They're still at Har Sinai. They haven't moved. So Rosh Hashanah Father Hirsch said that this, the Medrash says on the one hand, that this is an indictment to Klal Yisrael. That had they been Zoyche, they would have come already into Eretz Yisrael. Had they not done the Chet Ha'ego, they wouldn't be standing here still. So they only have to do Korban Pesach in the desert because they weren't Zoyche to go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we have to deal with Korban Pesach here in the Midbar. On the other hand, says Rav Hirsch, that no, that there's an important connection here. That really, Maimad Har Sinai on the one hand, they're standing at Har Sinai, and on the other hand, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that combination, they had to do Korban Pesach Sheini, sorry, the second Pesach, not Pesach Sheini. They had to do their second Pesach ever, still at Har Sinai, to join together the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Zechir of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Matan Torah. That's how he writes.
Till now, did they not know they had to do
Korban
Pesach from Pashat Boy? Did they not know they had to do Korban Pesach every year?
Oh, so there are different opinions here. Number one, some say that they weren't sure whether they had to do Korban Pesach until they got to Eretz Yisrael. Again. That's a different issue. Whether they would still have to, the Korban Pesach was applicable to them only when they got to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they didn't know whether in the desert they would be chayav or they wouldn't be chayav. That's number one. Now, when it comes to Bris Mila here, so how did they do it? How do they do it? If you can't do it, if your children don't have a bris milah, and they didn't have a bris milah in the desert. So here, Chazal say, one second. Many of the Mefarshim say, here there was no problem. Why? Because here, and you see this, right, the parsha right after this, we talk about the Anan coming up and moving, and them not knowing, are we moving or are we staying? That means until now, we knew we weren't moving. So until then, they were stationary. When they were stationary, they did a bris milah. It's only because they didn't know whether they had to move or they didn't have to move. And therefore, until then, they had done the bris milah on their children. And therefore, there wasn't a problem of their children not of Korban Pesach mitzad that, and therefore they said, and Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, we're doing Korban Pesach.
How did they know they were going to stay there? I didn't understand.
Well, they
were there in Bar Sinai, yeah.
Yes.
And the Onon could lift any time.
I don't know. No, they did not know that they were supposed to travel yet. They didn't begin their journey to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, until they made the journey from Eretz Mitzrayim until Har Sinai to Mekabel Torah. And they knew they would have to go to Eretz Yisrael, right? Moshe Rabbeinu would warn them when to go to Eretz Yisrael. There is no concept of wandering in the desert until after the Chet HaEgel and until the Gzeirah of the Meraglim. Right? Until the Gzeirah of the Meraglim, there is no wandering in the desert. We are here, and we are here because we have a purpose of being here. Whenever the purpose finishes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell us and will prepare us, and we'll move. It's only after that that they don't know when we're going to pick up and go. Yeah.
Well, what stopped the bris? What was wrong? Why could they not do a bris?
So because they had to move, and the traveling would be a problem for the children that had a bris milah. It would be dangerous for them. Different issues, but those were not applicable until now. Second issue is as follows. The reason why the halachas had to be repeated here is that there were differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doiros, and therefore to clarify those differences, Moshe Rabbeinu had to come and teach to Klal Yisrael the differences. For example, and also eventually Pesach Sheni halachos that were different. Second, Now, the Meshech Chochma has a fascinating pshat. He bases his pshat on the Sforna. And he says as follows. The Sforna has a mahalach that really, the whole idea of making a Mishkan and making a Beis HaMikdash, that was only a b'di'evet situation, a consequence of the Chet HaEgel. Ilulei the Chet HaEgel, if it wasn't for the Chet HaEgel, they wouldn't have had to do any of that. They wouldn't need a special Beis HaMikdash. And he takes it further. And he says, every Yachid would have the ability to bring a Korban wherever he was. And he would have a din of a Tzibur. What we consider a din of Tzibur now, a Yachid would have had that Maila of Tzibur. And therefore, if a Yachid had what today is a Maila of Tzibur, without the Chet HaEgel, that means that when Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai, before the Chet HaEgel, if a Yachid was Tamei, if his status of a Yachid is like a status of a Tzibur, it would have been Doiche. Because Tumas Tzibur is Doiche Korban Pesach. And therefore it's only because of the Chet HaEgel that now they have a different Madrega, that Yachid does not have a Madrega of Tzibur, and therefore that Moshe Rabbeinu was not taught on Har Sinai. And that's why he needed to check with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's the status of Klal Yisrael now? What do you do with the Yachid? Now a Yachid has a separate status. It's a new state of affairs, about which, according to the Meshech Chochma, Moshe Rabbeinu had not been taught the Halacha. And then he actually had to consult with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, and this was a chiddush for Moshe as well. It's an amazing idea. That means that many of the things related to the Mishkan and to Avodah that have a nafkamina between before Chet HaEgel and after Chet HaEgel, according to the Sforna, all of those halachos, Moshe Rabbeinu never heard at Har Sinai and was taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the wanderings in the desert.
Non-standard is equating the Tumas Tzibur and Yochid.
He said the Maila of Tzibur, every Yid had before the Chet HaEgel. Just like there was no specific place where the Tzibur would gather together and would pull together and they'd have a special Kedusha, That whole that necessity to bring the tzibur together and to have a mila of tzibur was only necessary because of Chetayeva. Because every yachid had that mila before. And if that every yachid had that mila before, then just like now, Tumas Tzibur is Doiche Korban Pesach, the Tumah of a yachid before would also be Doiche Korban Pesach. That's a Chiddush of Meshech Chochma. There is, I'm going to jump to the end of the Parsha. There's a very interesting thought I had with regards to Miriam. You see, if you look at the chait of Miriam, the Lashon Hara she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, from the point of view of the technical Isser, it wasn't just Lashon Hara. What was the problem? The problem seems to be, and the Pasuk says clearly, Lochen Avdi Moshe, Bechol Beisi Ne'eman Hu, Pe'el Pe'adam Berbo, What is this? This is a description. Hashem, because Baruch is telling Miriam, you think you understand the Maila of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? You think Moshe Rabbeinu is at the same level as you and Aaron? Not at all. Moshe Rabbeinu is a completely different level. My communication with Moshe Rabbeinu is pel peh. Bema'e ve'lo bechidot. If you look at the Rambam in the Ikrim, the Rambam says one of the Yudgimel Ikrim is to believe that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was unlike the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im. If a person thinks that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is like the Nevuah of all other Nevi'im, he's an apikaris. You see what's going on here? It sounds like Miriam was an apikaris. She did not believe one of the Yudgimel Ikrim. I mean, that's very rough to say about Miriam, right?
Rambam wasn't alive.
I understand he wasn't alive, the Rambam. But what comes out is a very, very radical thought. She was missing in the understanding one of the Yudgimel Ikrim. Now, why is this such an important Ikrim? Tell you what. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is like other Nevi'im's Nevuah, that means that the Torah is like the other Sifrei Nevi'im. That means Torah is equal to other Sifrei Nevi'im. It's only because Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is crystal clear, unadulterated word of Hashem, that Torah has a status of Torah above all other Sifrei Nevi'im. The authority of Torah comes as a result of the level of Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. If you deny that, you are denying the status of Torah and the authority of Torah as the word of Hashem directly. So this had to be corrected. This had to be made public. This had to be... And therefore, perhaps this is why there was such a huge, quote-unquote, balagan, and such a public display of what happened to Miriam, so that this principle should be clear to everyone. Okay, so it's just an interesting perspective on what happened to Miriam, that we should take into consideration. I have one more thing and one story to share with you. Sometimes I look at the parsha and try to see if there's a theme running through. There is a little bit of a theme in the parsha, which is desire. Because on the one hand, and by the way, some say that the reason why Pesach Sheni was said was because they actually asked for it. They wanted it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to them. I don't know how. It's a nice board in Musar, but to say that it was Mechadesh Adin because they asked, I think it's a little bit radical to say.
It was always there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was given before.
To say that Pesach Sheni wouldn't have happened had they not asked for it, I think it's a bit taking it too far. What Chazal tells us is that they got this chus that it was said on their name. Said on their name. And by the way, I saw some, Ramosha Feinstein has a beautiful idea. He says that we see from here, and say the difference between here and the case of Tzlofchad. By the case of Benot Tzlofchad, they say it was mentioned on their name, and actually their names appear. They were Zoyche, and therefore the parsha is called the parsha of Benot Tzlofchad. What is the parsha called here? Vahi Anoshim. Who are they? We don't even know. Bishayan ben Safan. Whether they're Noise Aaron, whether the ones who took out Nadav and Avihu, we don't know who they were. So Anun said, you're trying to give them the cover that because they asked, the Parsha said on their name, and you're not even saying their name. Says our Moshe Feinstein, Drash Moshe, this to teach you, if you would have said the name, it could be that he says the name because of their maila, with the chashuvim. By not saying their name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pointing out, I'm saying this parsha because they asked for it and they desire to do the mitzvah so much. It's only their desire to do the mitzvah that was made them zoyche, that the parsha should be said. Not who they were, but what they did. Their request, the zchus of their request is what granted them that the parsha should be said on their name. Moshe Feinstein also said a fascinating, a beautiful yesoid here. He says, we learn from here. There's another introduction. He says like this. And many Mefarshim say, what were they actually asking for? They were asking that we should be included. How would they be included? So, Velo yachalu la'asot ha-pesach b'yoyim ha-hu. Chazal say, what does it mean by Yoim Hahu? What happened was, they were Tmei Meis. Tmei Meis, and they had become Tmei Meis exactly 7 days before the day, the 14th of Nisan. So on the 14th of Nisan, they were still Tmei, but at the night time, they would be Tav. So, if they were included in a Korban Pesach, then somebody would have brought the Korban Pesach on their name. They would have done Tvila, Hazar, whatever they needed. And at night time, they would eat from the Korban Pesach. So they wanted to know, can we actually do that? We want to be part of it. It's just, we're missing it by a day, mamish. And we can still eat it. So the Ramosha know that actually Aloha, that they wouldn't be able. And they wouldn't even be, because they weren't ra'oi to eat it, they all, the Shas Hazor, so therefore they can't be included. Says Rav Moshe, but what they're asking was as follows. Can we at least participate by being shutaf with someone else, all the other ones are ksherim, will be shutfin, and enachiname, we won't be able to eat it. And says Moshe, and even more, we won't even be yoitze the mitzvah. But we'll have a chelik in the mitzvah. They were desiring to have a chelik in the mitzvah. Even if they wouldn't be yotze, they wanted a chelik in the mitzvah. He says here, Moshe Feinstein says, from here we learn a lesson. When we are, for whatever reason, potter from a mitzvah, what is our attitude? Do we try and have a shaykhus with the mitzvah one way or another, or not? And we wash our hands and say, Baruch Hashem. He says, you have to try. He said, a person who can't eat maror, he says, a person who can't eat matzah, he should be involved in the mitzvah of making the matzah. Do something. Be kosher to the mitzvah. Even if you can't be yotze. It's not about being yotze, it's about being kosher to the mitzvah. And therefore, even if you can't be yotze, be kosher to the mitzvah. The last, I want to say a story. I used to walk from Golders Ring to Hendon with Rabbi Roberts, Zichrono Livracha, Pinchas Roberts. I know that they were doing a spading Sunday. And And he told me a story. He said, you're going, I used to work for JLE, I used to go to Nottingham to do Kirub. He said, oh, you go to Nottingham? He says, yeah, I'll tell you a story about Nottingham. He said, I was in Gates at Koilel. And when I was at Gates at Koilel, you had to take some days during the year to go fundraising for the Koilel. So I had Nottingham, I used to go to Nottingham. By the way, Nottingham was a Ir Gedoyla. The shul there has over 750 seats. So it's a huge shul. So he said, there was a Yid, an old Yid, who had his shop still open and selling. But I realized he's practically retired. And he doesn't do that much business, and he certainly didn't need the business. So I said to him, Rabbi Yid, why you still keep the business open? He said to me, this is what Robert said, he said to me, I'll tell you why. He says, most of the Frum people have left town. Most of the Frum people in Nottingham left town. I'm one of the few ones who are left here. And I close my shop on Shabbos. No one else closes their shop on Shabbos. I am still in business so that people can see that I close on Shabbos. That's why I didn't retire. So people can see there's a Yid who has a business who closes on Shabbos. That's the story he told me walking to Shul. Good Shabbos.
Said they were allowed to do the bristling. The whole vault by Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to say, well, they had to have a tabernacle, ordinary pizza, because they couldn't have a bristling. You said now they did have a
bristling.
Sorry.
You're right. That wasn't an answer. The answer to why he had to tell them was not because of Rizvina. That was not the answer. But the reason that he had to tell them? Okay, according to... I wasn't saying according to...
According to them... You said they had Rizvina. I'm not saying I did.
In Harsina they had it. By Harsina, meaning during the time that they were still by Harsina. According to some reports,
they still had So why did they do
Hamas? Oh no, so then you have to go to the other. You have to go to the other answer. The other answer was either because I haven't gotten to Eretz Yisrael yet.